All right, good Friday morning, everybody. Welcome to the WLBB Community Voice Program, News Talk 1330 and FM 106.3. And also this morning, we're on Facebook Live. Visit our website, or actually our Facebook page, News Talk 1330. WLBB. I'm your host this morning, Colin Worthington. As you can see on Facebook Live, our guest this morning is Villarica City Manager Tom Barber, and we appreciate you making the journey south this morning, Tom.
Thank you, sir.
We decided, you and I were talking this morning, we decided 9 months you've been in that role, right?
Yes, sir.
Let's get you a little closer to the mic there, if you don't mind, Blue. And I did want to ask you this before we kind of delve into all the projects that are going on now, and again, I alluded to this before we started the program. When you apply for a job like this, are you just always expecting the worst, that you're going to find out that there's so many things that you really have to work on? Or do they introduce you, was there some sort of audit? Do they introduce you to anything that's going on just to see if you really want to be part of this?
You learn a little bit about a city during the interview process, but really until you get into the meat of it, when you start working with the staff, you really don't know what the specifics are.
Is it safe to say that you do come into this like expecting the worst, because the previous city manager, they didn't leave on the friendliest terms. Do you kind of expect that there will be a lot of things that you'll have to go into and review and be prepared to deal with?
Yeah, really there's two things that always are true in that situation. One is when you have that kind of turnover, you have an interim period, mm-hmm. so things tend to fall through the cracks, just in between permanent guys. And then you have, along with that, a lot of times some staff upheaval. When the manager leaves or is fired, sometimes you'll have people that he brought in that will leave also, which we had. So those two things sort of, occur almost every time.
Well, one thing that you did not know initially when you came in, that Villarica is dealing with a lot of water problems. At the beginning of this year, rates had to be raised just because it just wasn't making money. It was actually losing money,
right?
Because of the discount of what customers were getting on water. Also, there's a big project going on, I believe, with the sewer system. I had to call in some engineers. So you guys decided to hire some engineers to work on a big project. Can you tell us where we stand with those?
All right. So when I got here and we started talking about the system, both water and sewer were generating less revenue than it costs to operate. Water less so than sewer. Sewer was the real money loser. And the reason is we're making a big debt payment to pay for the sewer plant out in the industrial park.
So that's about a decade old, right, that project?
Right. Yeah. And so that's, almost $1 million a year that we're paying in debt for that. So we recommended some significant rate increases as a result to get us back to the point that we can be just a break-even operation on that. And the rate increases that were proposed by the company that helped us determine those quantities were so large that we recommended to council we spread it over 3 years. So 18 was really just the first of what we planned to be 3 consecutive years of rate increases on water and sewer.
Well, were the rates too low compared to other cities? Or
right.
Okay. I mean, so
right.
So up to this point, Villarica was just being undercharged, you think?
Right.
It wasn't like we need to raise this to make up for this.
Right.
Okay. And there's also a sewer project that you guys began. I think you got the ball started last month.
All right. So we had several items approved by council in the most recent meeting. The big one is an upgrade of the water plant, which is a 1966 facility. In addition, we hired someone to come in and look at all the lift stations for the sewer system. So there's 31 pump stations for sewer. So we're going to go in and evaluate all of them. One of the questions that we can't answer right now, when a residential builder comes in, we can't look at a lift station and accurately tell what the available capacity is. So we've got a couple of neighborhoods that want to develop, and we're not sure that the sewer capacity is there, especially if there's a series of lift stations that take it to the treatment plant, because any one of them could be the bottleneck. So we've got somebody that's going to come in and look at all those, the pumps, the controls, the capacity, what's available, and then we can make better decisions about what we can and can't support. The good thing is we've got more residential demand than we've had in years. The bad thing is we're not totally confident that we can support all of it.
And this is not a cheap project to get this going.
No.
That money, did the city plan for that in the previous decade, or where is this money going to come from?
No, what we're planning to do, since we're phasing in the rate increases over 3 years, is we're going to take out loans from GFA, which is a state funding mechanism that will help us get through the 3 years. And then at the end of the third year, we should be self-supporting. And at that point, improvements that we need to make, we should be able to pay for as we go.
Tom Barber is the city manager for the city of Villarrica, our guest on this morning's Community Voice program. Again, beginning of the show, talked about just what were you aware of 9 months ago when you accepted this job in Villarrica. The North Loop Project is something people have been talking about for at least 3 decades, maybe longer than that. What did you know about the North Loop Project at that point? Was it, I want to say last year when you came in, everybody was gung-ho, like, all right, this is finally going to happen. They believed it was coming up. But we've since learned, you know, there was some discussion. You and I had talked after you'd had a conversation several months ago, and you were you believed that it wasn't going to go through. There were reports then like, oh, yeah, there's no problem. But then turns out there is a problem.
Right. So to answer your first question, when I got here, I didn't know anything about the North Loop. So I've learned all of that in the last 9 months. So where we are is the engineering is continuing, and the schedule was for engineering to be complete April of 19. So that's still on pace. Land acquisition is still on pace. The problem is in 17 or a little earlier, GDOT came to us and said, hey, what do you think about changing the project? And instead of having traffic lights at the two terminus points, how about we put in roundabouts? And we said, maybe. And they said, we'll pay for it. And then we said, sure. Well, what we didn't understand was that required additional land acquisition. That right-of-way acquisition pushed the ready date for the project back a year to 19, but the money was allocated for 18. So last fall, when they were looking at 18, they said, we have this money available for this project, but no project. So instead of it going back a year, it went back 9 years to 2027. So we fussed. They've since moved it to 2024, which is still not acceptable to us. But right now, we haven't figured out a way to get that money moved up any sooner. The project is still going to be ready to bid in a year. So GDOT considers it an active project. They're still working on it just like they have been. They haven't stopped engineering or doing right away. So people have sold property and sold their house, and houses have been demolished and all that.
And I guess the thing is, the money was there. They felt like they have to spend that money. Didn't think you guys were ready to go. I mean, in essence, it did sabotage you with doing the roundabouts, which you thought, oh, you're going to pay for it. Great. And it's kind of sabotaged the project. We'll say delayed it at this point. However, the roundabouts, or at least one of them, I think, right, is still set to go.
All right. So we've been talking to the staff guys, and what has been proposed by them to us is slightly different than the full roundabout in the loop plan. What we're talking about doing now is doing a mini roundabout, which would be, say, 80 or 90 feet in diameter instead of 120.
Is it still just one lane, or will it be two lanes?
It depends on where it is.
Okay.
I think that both of these are one lane. So one of them would go at the top of 101 and Rockmart, right, which would have been the west end of the bypass. So we'll get a roundabout there, because that's a really difficult three-way right now.
Especially
right
around
now.
School hours, right?
And then the other one, instead of going at the terminus point of the bypass, would go at Punkintown and 61.
Oh, that's the one I'm thinking.
Right, which is the bad stop sign. So we'll get a mini roundabout there also. And then when we get to the point where the bypass is constructed, then we would get a full roundabout on each end of that.
So do they consider that still part of the North Loop project? Are they
going
to delay on? Okay, that's
in their terminology, they have money – that they use for what they call quick response projects, mm-hmm. which is, I think, up to $200,000 per project. So that's what they're going to use for these two mini roundabouts. And that's also what they're using to do the improvements at 61 and Hickory Level in front of Walmart and Quick Trip. Mm-hmm. So they're doing a quick response there also.
And just sticking with GDOT before we get to our first break, 20 minutes before 9 o'clock, there was also a project you had talked about, GDOT. You were interested in providing some lighting, 61 and 20 at that exit. But may have to wait. If GDOT will pay for it, but that would wait for a long time. How urgent – actually, describe the project, if you don't mind, and how urgent you believe that would be.
Okay, so the problem that we have at 61 and 20 is a safety traffic crash problem. We have a lot of accidents where people are going north on 61 over the bridge and turning left onto 20 eastbound going into Atlanta and getting T-boned by people coming down the hill from Walmart, partly because it's hard to distinguish if somebody's in the travel lane or the turn lane. So people, we think that people see cars coming down, think that they're in the turn lane, they're actually in the travel lane, and they pull in front of them and then get hit. So GDOT is totally supportive of lighting that whole area. They think that will make a difference in that. So we applied for the lighting, and they came back and they said, yeah, we agree with that, and you can do it one of two ways. You can pay for it and do it now, or you can submit a request for us to do it, and it'll be 2 to 3 years, and we'll pay for it. So that goes to council at this meeting to decide which way. So I'm assuming we'll put that in the plan for them to do, because mm-hmm. I don't think we want to spend the money on that.
Yeah, it's not a cheap project.
No, it'd be $1 million or better.
Tom Barber, our guest on this morning's Community Voice program. He's city manager for the city of Villa Rica. And questions or comments this morning, you can give us a call, 678-601-8255, 678-601-TALK, or you can post your questions or comments on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page, because we are streaming live on that app this morning as well. Good morning to Derek Newton, who's watching us. Always appreciate him checking in. So we'll take our break here. First break, Community Voice, brought to you by Tanner Health System here on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3.
At Tanner, we're advancing health throughout West Georgia and East Alabama, because we know that exceptional care isn't based on how many patients we serve, but how well we serve them. That's why we're focused on quality, delivering the best possible care for our patients. It's why we're expanding our clinical services and building new facilities to serve our growing community. And it's why we're looking beyond our hospitals and medical practices to develop sustainable wellness and preventive health programs in our region. What makes a hospital great has changed. It's not how many beds we have. It's how well we care for the neighbors who need them. Delivering the right care to every patient, every time, is how Tanner is advancing health with medicine beyond measure. Learn more at Tanner.org. Or find a physician on our medical staff by calling 770-214-CARE.
Everybody, welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice program, our show brought to you by Tanner Health System, just about 15 minutes before 9 o'clock on this Friday. I am your host today, Colin Worthington. Our guest is Villa Rica City Manager Tom Barber. You can listen to us on News Talk 1330, FM 106.3. We are on Facebook Live this morning, and of course you can always hear us streaming live on our website, newstalk1330.com. Use the TuneIn app, and you can listen to us just about anywhere, I think. Even in Japan, I understand. We broadcast in Japan. So we've had friends call it. That's not a lie. I heard you laugh over there. That's true, isn't it? Anyway, Colin Worthington, Tom Barber sitting with us this morning. Tom, catching up on Villa Rica. We try to get representatives from Villa Rica in here every couple of months because it does seem over the last year there are a lot of things going on, and people should be informed. A big complaint that I'm sure you guys have heard a lot about is the trains being installed in there, and talked with Michael Dugan, state senator, about that, talked with you about it several times. Last time I talked to you, I think you were optimistic that they were looking into maybe changing the spot where they would stop their trains, because those trains are 2 miles long, and you know, so it kind of shuts down traffic in that whole area. Is there a update on that by chance?
We have begun to develop some pretty good relationships with the guys at Norfolk Southern, and the communication's been good. We understand better what the issues are, but at the end of the day, what we have is a capacity problem, and we happen to just be stuck in the middle of it. So what we've learned is that South Carroll Road is the dividing point between Norfolk Southern, Georgia, and Norfolk Southern, Alabama, and the crews are not allowed to drive past that point into the other guy's territory. So we wind up with a train, either the Georgia train going to Birmingham gets to Villa Rica and stops, and the guys get off, and then the train sits there until the Alabama crew gets there, or the reverse. So until that demarcation point changes, you know, that's life. That's what we're going to live with. And then we also have a siding. And the problem with the siding is it covers a couple of crossings. So when we have a train sitting on the siding, if they don't break it, then those crossings are covered up for sometimes more than a day, right, depending on the crew availability. So they're aware of it. It's not just Villa Rica. The problem is that the Port of Savannah's cooking.
And it's not going to slow down either.
No, what we're being told is that the port's putting, say, 16% of all their traffic on the train, and they want it to go to 30. Mm. And the port volume's going up. So not only do we have a problem, it could double, right? And it's a single lane track.
It could bug Villa Rica and Temple at the same time, basically.
Everybody. Yeah. Back into Douglas, you know, on into Alabama. Everybody's, I mean, it's going to be tough until we have more capacity, and it's a single lane track.
Mm-hmm. Have they explained how hard it is to separate those cars? Does that take a lot of time for them to get out and break those if they were to leave those roads open?
I don't think it's as much breaking them as the problem is putting them back together. When they reassemble a train when it's been broken at a crossing, at least one of the guys on the train has to inspect it visually from beginning to end. Mm-hmm. So that's a 2 mile walk back and forth on the side of the track, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a significant amount of time that's involved. So that's part of the issue.
And possibly it could extend to 3 miles in the future.
Well, I hope not. But,
gentleman posting on our Facebook this morning, John Campbell, asking about repairing potholes in the right turn lane onto I-20 from 61. I'm guessing that's I-20 onto 61. I guess is that when you're coming from the west side, maybe if you're coming from Bremen to Villa Rica?
We'll have to take a look.
Okay. They hadn't heard any questions about concerns about that at all.
It's not something that I've had brought up, so I'll have to look when I go back.
Right turn lane onto I-20 from 61. So maybe it's the one going to Atlanta. Maybe it's that same exit that you were talking about as far as needs lighting.
Well, I know that the turn lane coming down the hill from Walmart and Quick Trip on the 20 east is really rough.
Is that a Villa Rica issue?
That's just a GDOT there.
Okay, so county can't mess with that either then. Tom Barber, our guest on this morning's Community Voice program, city manager for the city of Villa Rica. Again, if you want to leave a comment or question for us on the Facebook Live page, you can do that. News Talk 1330 WLBB on Facebook. 10 minutes before 9 o'clock, we'll take our final break and come back and wrap up our discussion with Tom. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3 and this morning on Facebook Live.
At Tanner, we're advancing health throughout West Georgia and East Alabama, because we know that exceptional care isn't based on how many patients we serve, but how well we serve them. That's why we're focused on quality, delivering the best possible care for our patients. It's why we're expanding our clinical services and building new facilities to serve our growing community. And it's why we're looking beyond our hospitals and medical practices to develop sustainable wellness and preventive health programs in our region. What makes a hospital great has changed. It's not how many beds we have. It's how well we care for the neighbors who need them. Delivering the right care to every patient, every time, is how Tanner is advancing health with medicine beyond measure. Learn more at tanner.org or find a physician on our medical staff by calling 770-214-CARE.
All right, welcome back to the final segment, or welcome to the final segment of the WLBB Community Voice Program. I'm Colin Worthington. Our show is brought to you by Tanner Health System, News Talk 1330, FM 106.3 this morning. We are streaming live on Facebook, News Talk 1330 WLBB. Our guest is Villarica City Manager Tom Barber. I'm going to try and get in a couple of questions here in our final 9 minutes. Gosh, what haven't we talked about? Talked about the trains, talked about the North Loop, talked about the water treatment plant. Yesterday, and I believe another day this week, you guys had a public visioning workshop, and you were able to attend both of those, talking about a comprehensive plan for Villarica. Is that something that's been publicly displayed? Or
right. So we've got really three projects going on right now. We've got the comp plan, which is a state-mandated document and process that we go through. That's
every decade, right?
Yep. 2005, I think, was the last time we did it. So we're working through that public input, developing one of the outputs of that is a future land use plan. So sort of where do we want to go and how do we want it to develop? And then we've got a walk and trail plan going on. So the same consultants to help Carrollton with their walk and trail, helping us, Path Foundation. So they put together some ideas. They brought them in for the first time. Part of it got chewed up pretty good, but I mean that's the process.
By the public,
yeah. Right? Just the way that downtown is handled.
What were their bigger issues?
Parking, you know what, having a neutral impact on parking. We had the same concerns in the comp plan meeting. You know how we handle downtown is pretty sensitive. We just made some changes on West Wilson. We went away from the reverse angle parking back to front end parking. So the number of spaces and maximizing that was a big deal. So, you know, we just resurfaced and restriped that road. And then we've also got one of the guys who's involved in the comp plan from that same company helping us try to integrate all these ideas into one downtown plan. So my economic development guy has plans. The walk and trail folks have plans. The comp plan folks have plans. And we're trying to integrate them all into one thing that council can approve. And we've got the RSVP that we did, you know, a year or so ago before I got here, trying to integrate all that into a plan. So that's what we're working on right now.
When we were talking about the trains, I thought about this and just forgot to bring it back up. As far as improving, giving people more notice that the trains are stuck, there was talk about putting a sign up or something, a flashing sign, at least for Mirror Lake side. Is there a possibility of still doing that? And is
right.
there someplace else can you put one? Can you put one on South Carroll before people come into the...
Right. What we're doing is we're trying to work with the railroad to get a signal installed up at the water tank at Connors and Punkintown or Mirror Lake Boulevard or Liberty or whatever that is up there at Public, so that before you come down the hill, you can see that the crossing is blocked. So we're working with them. Well, that may take a minute.
But I think people will appreciate that once that's up, because that is the bigger complaint. It's like, you know, we're concerned about emergency vehicles that can't get through there, but just
right.
giving people notice, that probably should alleviate some of the stress there a little bit. What else do we want to talk about? Oh, the tax allocation district. What is a tax allocation district? And I believe that residents will decide whether they want to have it or not this November.
Okay.
But
so,
is that, you know, why should they support something like
right.
that?
Right. So what's going to go to the voters is called redevelopment powers. So it's been approved by the state legislature, and it will go on referendum in November. And if the voters approve redevelopment powers for the city, then it gives the council the authority to create one or more tax allocation districts. Mm-hmm. And what those are it's a funding mechanism for development. And it's typically used on land that's difficult. It's got rock, water, a brownfield, you know, something above and beyond the normal development issues, which are roads and infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And so if we have the authority to do that, then we could take a difficult to develop area, which is typically in a city like Villarrica, that's what's left, right? The easier pieces have been developed and the harder pieces is what remained vacant. And we would be able to take the value of the property as it exists now, set that as the base, and then as the piece develops, that additional value in the property tax that is generated would go toward paying off bonds, and we would use that bond issue to do whatever development issue is involved, whether it's difficult terrain, you know, moving a lot of dirt, rock, water mitigation, brownfield mitigation. Sometimes you have to build a bridge. I mean, it just depends on the property, you know, and what you have to do to develop it.
But paying off that bond, will that come from only money in that allocated district? It wouldn't come from anything else. I think that was something people were having a problem with. They wanted to make sure that the money wasn't being taken, you know, when you're going through the process.
It's just from the additional revenue, the increment that comes from the new development.
This morning we ran a story about the potential annexation. That you guys wanted to grab a little, or I think somebody had come out to you and wanted to put some housing on the Douglas County side of Villarrica.
Right.
It's in the unincorporated Villarrica.
Right.
You were open to starting a process to see if you could annex some property, possibly 75 new houses.
Right.
And the person would rather be in the city than in the county. Douglas County commissioners kind of poo-pooed on that this week, but it may not be over, right?
Well, there's a process there, and the county has objected. There was an agreement discussed back more than 10 years ago that would prohibit the city from annexation in unincorporated Douglas unless they approved it, and they've objected up to this point. So now it's sort of back on the landowner to approach the county again to see if there's a, you know, some way to work that out.
Mm-hmm.
He's approached us because we can provide water and sewer there, which is what he wants. Mm-hmm. So,
and it's also, doesn't the city have different rules as far as density? Like you might be able to build houses closer than
we all have the same rules as far as we all have zoning, mm-hmm. but what we apply for each parcel can be different. So at this point, the zoning that governs that parcel is a Douglas decision. Mm-hmm. And if it becomes part of the city, then we would decide, right? And so that's the rub is the density. Right now, that's a very rural area.
Tom Barber, our guest on this morning's Community Voice program. He is city manager for the city of Villarrica. I've got about a minute left in the program. Tom, anything going on that you want to make people know about? Or any public forums coming up?
We have a couple of things that are happening that I think are really exciting. One thing is that in the time that I've been in the city, housing starts have just jumped off the chart.
Mm-hmm.
So a year ago, we weren't building anything. We've had about 75 permits for new houses just in 18. So we're on pace to do maybe a couple of hundred houses this year, which is a really good sign for Villarrica. So that's one of the most exciting things that's happened since I've been here.
How long do you think has it been since they've actually had growth in housing? Good 5 years?
I don't even know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've not heard anything in recent history that we've, you know, had a significant housing economy. So,
well, I do appreciate you coming out this morning.
Yes, sir.
Only 9 months, and it feels like 8 years. Is that what the
we? Not that bad.
Not that bad. Well, we hope to be able to present good news with all this and keep everybody updated on you know, the water issues and the sewer issues and getting those bills paid and thing. But again, thanks for coming out this morning.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And thank you, everybody, for listening to this morning's Community Voice program. Our show is brought to you by Tanner Health System here on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. And this morning we were on Facebook Live. If you missed any of the program, you can visit our website, our Facebook page and watch it in its entirety, or you can visit our website, newstalk1330.com, for the audio download. 9 o'clock right now. Stay tuned for national news, followed by local news. Glenn Beck is on the air. Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity. Have a great weekend.